Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christa Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christa Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christa Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own fault, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "See, I am now establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, all the birds and the various tame and wild animals that were with you and came out of the ark. I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all bodily creatures be destroyed by the waters of a flood. There shall not be another flood to devastate the earth." God added, "This is the sign that I am giving for all ages to come of the covenant between me and you and every living creature with you. I set my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and a bow appears in the clouds, I will recall the covenant I have made between me and you and all living beings, so that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all mortal beings." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Is the Lord. He shows the way to sinners. He guides the humble in right judgment. To the humble he teaches his way.
Your ways, O Lord, are
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who had once been disobedient, while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now, it is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone to heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, and in similar passages in the Gospels of St. Luke and St. Matthew, we find our Lord about to begin his public ministry. Christ has just come from the Jordan River, where St. John baptized him, and proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God, the long-awaited Messiah, come to save mankind from sin. A voice had thundered from the heavens and announced, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit had descended upon him in the form of a dove. Our Lord was now ready to join battle with Satan for the possession of men's souls. But first, he went into the wilderness to fast and to pray, to prepare himself spiritually. Now Satan knew that the fullness of time had come, and that God was about to reveal his long-prepared plan for the salvation of mankind, and to put it into action by means of his Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ. It is good theological opinion that when God created the angels and tested their faith, he revealed to them part of the plan of redemption, the part in which his Son took human flesh and became man. Then God asked the angels to have faith in this mystery and to worship his Son, God made man, in his human nature. The theologians speculate that Satan, or Lucifer as his name was then, because of pride, refused to humble himself and worship a man, a creature much lower on the scale of creation than himself. Now remember that the angels were pure spirits of the highest intellect and knowledge, and in perfect control of their wills. They understood perfectly well what was being asked of them and what was at stake. But because of their pride, disobedience, and lack of faith, Lucifer and the angels who followed his lead were deprived of the presence of God forever. If this line of reasoning is true, and there doesn't seem to be any reason why it should not be possible, then Satan shows in the gospel that he again underestimates the power and the love of God. Again, he refuses to believe that God would truly become man in order to redeem mankind. And he attacks this Jesus Christ, who dares to challenge Satan's power over the world. First of all, Satan attacks the lower appetites of Christ's human nature. The devil tempts him to use the powers of God for his own benefit, to satisfy his very human hunger pangs. And after all, what better way could there be to become the Messiah than to turn stones into bread? The great mass of humanity would gladly follow anyone who could turn stones into bread and feed their hunger. Christ knew that mankind could be bribed with great material gifts. But he also knew that the greatest of all mankind's needs was to know the will of God and to do it. And so he replied to Satan, "It is written that not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan failed his first attempt to deceive this man sent from God. Satan's pride in his powers of deception was challenged, and so he again tries to tempt Jesus. This time, Satan would appeal to a higher and a nobler craving than mere hunger. He chose the desire to become well known and famous. Satan took Christ to the peak of the temple in Jerusalem, some 400 feet straight down the mountainside to the valley of the Kedron River. "Jump," he said, "if you are the Son of God, jump. Give all the faithful Jews in the temple something to talk about. Give them a sensation. Perform spectacular miracles, and humanity will follow you. You shall not tempt the Lord your God," was Christ's answer. Divine powers were not to be used for sensationalism, for senseless experiments in mob hysteria. Christ had not come to manipulate people with divine power. He came to heal them with divine love. Satan had failed again. His strategy had not worked. The humanity of Christ had proved far stronger than the devil had expected. Satan was now on the defensive. If this Jesus was the Son of God, then he would be the messianic king, not just of the Jews, but of a kingdom without boundaries. But if this Jesus was not the Son of God, but merely a man, then he would be all the more ambitious to possess the glory of this universal kingship. This then would be the grounds of the next temptation. At present, in a sense, Satan ruled the world, and all kingdoms belonged to him and to whomever he would give them. On this last temptation, Satan risked everything on the proud presumption that, Son of God or not, the humanity of this Jesus would be corrupted by the enormous offer of power and glory. Satan showed himself to Christ as Lucifer, the King of Light, Prince of the powers of this world. From the mountaintop, he showed Jesus the whole world. Time and distance dissolved, and all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and to come, were paraded before Christ in all their pomp and glory. Satan stood ready to sacrifice his kingdom in this world in return for the worship of himself by Christ. What a triumph that would be, to be worshiped by the very one before whom God had so humiliated the great Lucifer at the beginning of time. But this was more than a temptation. It was an offer and a threat. Compromise with the devil, and Christ could have his kingdom without a struggle. Refuse, and it would be war to the death with the powers of Satan. Christ accepted the challenge. "Begone, Satan. The Lord your God alone shall you adore, and him alone shall you serve." Christ knew that the kingdom of this world is nothing in comparison to the eternal kingdom of his Father. Compromise with the devil was out of the question. Christ was tempted to buy his kingdom with material gifts, to dazzle people with sensational powers, and finally to compromise or sell his soul in return for the kingdoms of this world. Today we are tempted in the very same way by the very same Lucifer. His powers are just as great as they were then. Our humanity is as weak and as prone to temptation as ever. And Satan's threats to bring persecution and suffering to any who refuse him are as real and as serious as can be. Our only hope is in the strength and the grace of God. Our Father in heaven will give us the power to endure all suffering and even the cross, so that we might inherit the true kingdom prepared for us since the beginning of time, the kingdom of heaven. And all we have to do is ask. As we follow our Lord symbolically through the coming 40 days of Lenten prayer and fasting, and face the temptations of Satan along the way, let's remember to take courage from the example of our Savior, who became man and suffered, was tempted, crucified, died, and rose from the dead, in order to make each of us capable of beating the devil at his own game, just as he did. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Saved as we are through the waters of baptism, let us bring our prayers to God, whose compassion is from of old.
For Pope Francis and for all the bishops of the world, as they lead our church through these 40 days in the Lenten desert to strengthen us for our mission in the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
In gratitude, we remember all who have given to the 2015 Catholic Stewardship Appeal and pray that others will join us in being stewards of God's many gifts so that we may continue the work of the Lord throughout the diocese. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those preparing for the Easter sacraments, especially those whom we send to celebrate their election this day, as they appeal to God for a clear conscience and deepen their spiritual preparation in the coming weeks, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the deceased, especially Sarah Burgess, that they may attain the fullness of life in the eternal joy of God's kingdom, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the safety of the men and women of our armed forces, for their families, and for all those who place their lives in danger in the service of others, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Ben Meir, Pete Gonzalez, Jr., and Minnie Gonzalez, Jose Salinas, and Joe Cueva, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God, whose rainbow in the clouds recalls your covenant with all living things, grant us the grace this Lent to strengthen our baptismal commitment and to serve you in all that we do. Graciously hear this and all our prayers through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
Let us pray. Give us the right dispositions, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dominus vobiscum, et cum spiritus tuo, sursum corda. Gratias agamus Domino Deo nostro, dignum et justum est. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance, and by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that, celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. And so, with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise,
as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one Spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Per ipsum et cum ipso et in ipso, est tibi Deo Patri omnipotenti, in unitate Spiritus Sancti, omnes honor et gloria, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen. Receptus salutaribus moniti, et divine institutione formati, audemus dicere. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicur in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimite nobis debita nostra, sicur et nos dimitimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentatio, sed libera nos a malo.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.